Good morning. Happy Sunday. All right. It is Communion Sunday this morning, so we have this unique privilege as believers to put ourselves in the flow of what the church has been doing for the better part of 2,000 years, and we celebrate communion together. We take common elements, bread, or here, kind of a wafer, and grape juice. Some people are old school. They do wine, real wine. Some folks do grape juice, whatever is, you know, kind of from the vine. And we partake of these elements in order to celebrate the death of Jesus Christ, because, of course, in Jesus Christ's death, this is God's awesome and wonderful victory over sin and hell and death in the world. And we praise the Lord that he won the victory over us in our lives when we waved the white flag of surrender and said, I give up, right? No mas, right? And we told the Lord, you take the keys and you drive. You have control of my life. Come into my heart. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and we place saving faith in him. And so we celebrate Jesus' death, right? We celebrate Jesus' death in light of his resurrection, in light of the fact that he's coming again, in light of the fact that we ourselves are able to live through his death as believers in Christ Jesus. And so that's what we are doing here on Communion Sunday. And we are going to partake of communion a little bit later. But I want to introduce our time, of course, with the Word, and to get us focused on particular aspects of communion. So that's what we do every Sunday, is we take a particular part from the Word of God so we could focus ourselves on particular aspects of communion. And today we're going to be looking just at Matthew 11, not the entire chapter of Matthew 11, but Matthew 11. We'll start at verse 20. Matthew chapter 11, start at verse 20, and we're going to go through verse 30, so just 10 verses. And you're going to hear a massive contrast, right? You're going to hear, you know, Jesus is judge. Jesus in the middle of the town square standing on a soapbox with a sign saying, repent, right? And then you're going to hear something different right after that. Same Jesus, but you're going to hear two different aspects of his message. And the context for this is Jesus had sent out his disciples, you read it in the chapter previous, to go and to evangelize, their first evangelistic mission, send them out two by two with miracle working power to proclaim that people might repent and that the kingdom of God was near. And this is the aftermath of that, or part of the aftermath of that. Here's the word of the Lord. Matthew 11, starting at verse 20. Then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Woe to you, Capernaum! You will not be exalted to heaven, will you? Will you descend to Hades? For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son will reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That last part is probably the one we're most familiar with, right? This, the last few verses there, verses 28 through 30, and ending with, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that sounds amazing, and that is wonderfully, wonderfully true. And we're going to talk about what he's getting at when he says that. It's actually a very, very quirky image he's using there. But we're not used to that in the context of the first bit, are we? Right? First bit is like soapbox preacher Jesus, right? In the middle of the town square, and he is yelling, repent. right? And what's happened here, as I've said earlier, is that Jesus sent out the disciples on an evangelistic mission. Two by two, he told them, I want you to go, you're going to heal people, you're going to heal people miraculously, you're going to cast out demons, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, you're going to do everything you've seen me do miraculously. Do what you've seen me do, because that's what Jesus did. And proclaim the kingdom of God is near, and proclaim that people need to repent. There we go. Right? And that's what they did. They went to these towns and did that. We know Jesus himself also did that. And in the aftermath, apparently, we're not told, we're not given an interaction that Jesus has with people from these specific cities he mentions. He mentions three cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. But apparently, the reaction was unfavorable to miracles and gospel preaching. And so Jesus basically just says, woe to you. Woe unto you. If you have the King Jimmy, it's like it captures it really poetically. Woe unto you, or woe unto thee, right? Because you've rejected my miracles, whether they're from him personally or through his disciples. They're his miracles, because it's Jesus' miracles and Jesus' power in Jesus' name. And he said, you rejected these. And so woe unto you. And he goes further. He says to two cities, he says that if these miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, he's like, what is that? Old Testament pagan cities. These are pagan nations that Israel even had problems with a few times. And he's like, if we could do time travel and go back to the Old Testament, if these miracles had been done in these pagan cities, these people would have repented and you didn't. And you're Jewish. Right? He goes to Capernaum, same thing. He says that no, you won't be exalted to heaven. You're going to descend to Hades, or you're going to descend to hell. You're like, kind of, you think you're all that and you're high and mighty? He's like, no, actually you're not. You're really low, to the point of going to the depths of hell. He said, because if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, that's Sodom of Sodom and Gomorrah, which God destroyed, They would have remained to this day. In other words, they would have repented as a city if they saw what you saw, but you have not repented. And so therefore, your judgment will be harsher on the day of judgment. This is rough. And he's talking to, this is cities populated by his own people, by Jewish people, right? And his point is, you should know better. You should know better, right? You of all people should know better. And we know that these are Jewish cities because when Jesus commissioned the disciples, he was very clear. He said, don't go to the Samaritans and don't go to the Gentiles. Not for this first one. He says, you only go to the lost sheep of Israel. And he's speaking to his own people and saying, you should know better. And you've not repented. And Old Testament pagans would have repented had they seen what you've seen. And then there's this massive tone switch. It's the same sermon. Matthew's clear. At that time, Jesus said. And he goes into this mini praise session. He's talking to God. He's talking to his Father. And he says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. What's he getting at here, right? He's getting at this. He's saying, look, Father, I praise you that despite the fact that folks who think they're wise, this is sarcasm, who think they're wise, who think, I'm too smart for this miracle stuff. Yeah. I don't know how they pulled that trick off and they raised that kid from the dead. And I don't know how they cast the demons out of that other guy. And I don't know how they did this. But those guys, they're just so lowbrow. They're so lowbrow. Like, we're too hip for the room. We're the wise. We're the intelligent. We don't have anything to do with all that nonsense. And Jesus is saying, thank you, Father, that you've hidden things from folks who think themselves wise and intelligent, and you've revealed it to infants. What is he getting at here? Is he saying that if you're gonna have faith in Jesus Christ, don't be smart, you know, be dumb for Christ. Check your brain in at the door, right? Don't look at science, right? don't be involved in the maths, right? Don't get involved in the upper echelons of government, right? Leave your check your brain at the door, because that's who this stuff is really for, the lowbrow. Take a step down when you come to believe in Jesus. Check your brain, your career, your expertise, your college degree, your grad degree. Check all that at the door if you're going to come to know Christ, because we keep that bar real low. Right? That's not what he's getting at. Jesus is not talking about you not being smart. You want to be smart and come to know Jesus? Praise God. We got about 2,000 years of really smart people coming to know Christ. Right? That's just fine. Right? You want to bring your college degree, your expertise, you want to bring your background in whatever it is that you excel at, praise God. Bring all that to Christ Jesus. He's in. This is more of an issue of the heart. This isn't about brains, this is about heart. Right? When Jesus says that we are to become like children, he said in other places too, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you have to become like a child. He's not saying be childish. He is saying be childlike. Those are two very different things. Childish, you are less mature than you should be. Childlike, you are open to the living God. So that when he visits you and calls you and summons you, you are apt to hear his voice. You are apt to receive his revelation. This is why he says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Jesus is saying, be like a child, because I am a child of who? His Father. Be like me. Be like me. Right? And receive revelation about my dad from me. Because I'm his son. Who's going to know it better than me? And you receive the way I receive. Be like me. Right? And what do we receive? What do we receive here from this Lord? What do we receive from our Lord by his hand? Rest. Rest. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is this? It's an agricultural image. Right, or you'd place a yoke on an animal that would pull a plow. Like think about an ox, right? Some massive animal that can pull a plow, really strong, help you with farming. And I say, okay, so why is Jesus telling me to be like an ox? And he's going to place a yoke on me. In Jewish rabbinical culture, yoke was also a form. It was teaching. It's a metaphor for teaching. And what Jesus is saying is, take my teaching upon you. The revelation that what I'm praising God for right now, what he's revealed, right? He's revealing miracles and he's revealing teaching. My teaching, take my teaching on you. It's easy. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's not like the Pharisees. It's not like the Sadducees. It's not like the nonsense of the world. Come be like infants and take on my burden and my teaching, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He says, and it's interesting, his qualifications that he lays out, in addition to being son to the Father, he says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. Notice, he doesn't say I'm smart. He appeals to his character. I'm gentle. I'm humble. I won't hurt you. You want an example? Look at all those miracles that I'm working and my disciples are working. None of them are meant to hurt anybody other than Satan. Right? Just like my miracles, it's just like my teaching. I've got no offensive weapons in my arsenal other than for the devil. Take my teaching upon you. Right? Because I'm humble. I'm gentle. I won't hurt you. I'm a child to the Father. Come be like children as you approach me. I have a yoke for you, but it's not
going to burden you down and weigh you down the way that other teachers do. Friends, this is a great word to hear on Communion Sunday. And on Sunday, right, Sabbath, which is meant for rest for our souls. That's why God introduced Sabbath into the human experience, is because we need rest. And the gospel itself, the good news of Christ Jesus, is also rest. It's rest for our souls, right? It is the Lord's rest from idolatry, which makes us restless and destroys us, right? It's God's rest from pride, that where we basically say, this is too lowbrow for me. I don't need this. I'm self-sufficient. It's God's rest from everything that degrades us. This good news that we have in us, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we celebrate by taking communion. This is rest for our souls, right? And we have a unique opportunity here as we take communion here, the way we do it here at Journey. We get to be unburdened in a pretty unique way. We pray a certain prayer of confession where we confess sin in our own lives. It could be, you know, you in your own heart. It could be things that are happening in your family life. It could be things on the job, right? We pray a prayer of confession because we know that the Lord unburdens us. When we confess, we are saying, I don't want that burden of sin. I want the yoke that's easy and the burden that's light. I don't want the burden of sin. I want the yoke of the gospel, right? And that is magnificently available for us. So what we're going to do is we are going to pray a prayer of confession. And then elders are going to come up. And we're going to pray over the communion elements. Elders will distribute communion. Worship team will lead us into the presence of the Lord. And then we're going to come back together and we'll take communion together. Friends, this is rest for our souls. Right? In a frenetic world, in a increasingly prideful world, and that pride's in us too. Okay, we got our own little narcissism machine going on too, right? The Lord, he extends rest, the rest of the revelation of the Son of God from the Father for rest and satisfaction for our souls. Be unburdened this morning. Unburdened from everything that degrades and everything that separates us from God our Father. I'm going to pray a prayer of confession. It's someone else's prayer. It's your heart. Right? Let's pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed much from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are penitent according to your promises declared to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that we may live a godly, righteous, and obedient life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Will the elders come up, please? Let's pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we do bless these elements. We bless them, Lord, because they are common, but our occasion is holy. So we pray, Lord, that you would make them holy in your sight. Lord God, be with us as we celebrate the gospel in wafer and in grape juice, in our hearts, in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, in confession, corporately, and also in our hearts individually, in worship. Lord God, please be with us. And we pray, God, that you would take off the burden of all things that separate us from you, all things that degrade us, all things that are false and cover up truth and separate us from your truth. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for freedom among us, a spirit of freedom in the great name of Jesus. Help us to take your yoke upon ourselves that you give out according to your graciousness, because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, please be with us. Amen, amen. Glory be to God. Friends of God, prepare your hearts to take the communion. First, the wafer. In accordance with the way the Lord has ministered to your heart, take and eat. Now, the grape juice. The wafer was the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken on the cross for us. The grape juice symbolizes the blood shed by our Lord Jesus Christ for our sake, for our redemption, and for our rescue from sin. In accordance with the way the Lord has ministered to your heart, take and drink. Friends, for those who will approach the Lord as an infant, not childish, but childlike, he dispenses much grace and much mercy to hearts that are humble and reject pride. And as a result of that, we know that we can come to the Lord and we can ask for forgiveness and pardon, and he gives it. He gives it. And so what we're going to do is pray a final prayer together. Again, this prayer is someone else's words, but it's your heart, and we get to come clean, but we also get to leave clean. It's pretty neat. So we're going to get that prayer up. It's a prayer of pardon, and we're going to pray this again together, and someone else's words, but your heart. Believe this. The Lord is kind. He is gracious and ready to forgive. The Lord has hidden his face from our sin. He has blotted out all our iniquity. In Christ and his cross, he has created within us a clean heart and renewed a right spirit within us. In this way, we are not cast away from his presence. We are endowed with his Holy Spirit, restored to the joy of God's salvation, and given a willing spirit to do all that he asks and desires of us. For in Christ Jesus, the perfect suffered for the imperfect, the sinless became sin for the sinner. We are forgiven and freed to live in a right relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, you are forgiven indeed. Amen. Praise him. Well, something that we've been doing now for a few months, or actually really since August, so I guess we're on month number three, is for Communion Sunday, we felt that it's appropriate to press more deeply into the Lord, because Communion Sunday is pretty special. We're already pressing into the presence of the Lord in a very specific and special way, centered around communion, but we figured, hey, let's keep that up, and let's have some corporate prayer. And we basically, we just felt like our congregation needed to be more engaged in prayer together. We know we're a praying congregation. We've seen some answered prayer. I know y'all pray. I totally know it. I believe it. I've seen answers to prayer. I know things that people are praying specifically where we've had a breakthrough. But we really feel like a burden from the Lord to pray more. And to pray together, and we're going to increasingly, I think, need that in days to come for the body of Christ to be together in prayer. There's more power when we are gathered together in prayer as a congregation, seeking the Lord together. And so we're taking godly advantage of Communion Sunday, and we're praying more. And rather than having a separate sermon to after communion, instead we're going to take time to pray and to seek the Lord. We break this up into three portions, pretty simple. The first one is we pray for our state, our nation, and our city, right? Or I probably said in order, our city, our state, our nation. Our city, our state, our nation, that's the first element that we have. And so we have some specific prayer points around that. Second is we pray for our congregation. Right, we pray specifically for our congregation, and at this point, we're saying, hey, feel the freedom to pray with others around you. Some of you, you do that very naturally. You know to just turn around, and maybe you kind of walk over a little bit. Maybe you got some people who you've prayed with before, and you guys kind of have a vibe where you're comfortable praying together. At that second point, feel free to go pray with others around you who want to pray with you. Now, keep in mind, not everybody's into that. Okay, we try to allow for diversity, right, and have unity in diversity. Some folks just like, look, I like to pray with just me, right? That's who I am. I don't want to pray with anybody else. Praise God. Just pray. Some folks like, hey, I want a buddy. I like praying with other people. Hey, praise God. We're going to do unity and diversity. Do you. So we ask that if you are in the I like to pray with other people camp, that, you know, be in the Holy Spirit, be with the Lord. Just keep it a little bit quiet so that people around you who are more flying solo can do that in a way that works for them. But that's, and then we have a third level. The third level is where we are inviting individual requests. And so there's a few different ways you could do that. If you are liking to pray by yourself, guess what? You still got that. If you just want to say, I want to pray just alone, go for it. Or just maybe you and your spouse, or maybe just you and your family, go for it. If you want to raise your hand and to have somebody come pray for you, just raise your hand, you know, and somebody will pray for you. You can also, we're going to have like a bowl, something like the communion bowls, those white bowls that were up. We'll have that in the back, and it'll be near the giving kiosks. If you want to write down a prayer request that an elder will come up and read and everybody can pray, you can write it down. We'll pray it, and the congregation will be invited at the end to pray that out loud. If you have someone's name on there, can you just put initials? That way we can just keep the anonymity. The Lord knows who it is. So if you say, like, KB needs prayer, okay, hey, I don't know who KB is. Guess who knows who KB is? The Lord, right? So if you could keep initials, if it's for somebody, that'd be great. That way that we can keep their anonymity. Then also, if you want to keep praying in a small group, you've been doing that since the second phase, go for it, right? So we're trying to have like not a ton of moving parts, but enough moving parts where there's diversity as we come before the Lord. So what'll happen each point is an elder will come up, George and I will be up today, and George will come up for the first one. He will introduce the prayer items. He'll just read the bullet points, and then he'll sit down. You'll have time to pray. Then I will come up for the next one, introduce the bullet points. You get time to pray. Third one, same thing. You know, introduce the bullet points. You will have time to pray. And then we close out. Worship team comes up, leads us in the presence of the Lord, and then that's it. Okay? So thank you for the ways you guys have been rocking and rolling with this. I know this is new, and we are still inviting critique, suggestions, you know, or hallelujahs, you know, whatever you got, because we know it's new. And so there's times for things to change. Also, if you are, I forgot that last category. If you want anointing for healing, you know, make that known too. We got you. Okay? So if you want anointing at all, prayer for healing, we also do that as well. Sorry, I forgot to say that. That's the last one, and I'll make that clear as we go. All right? Good? All right. Well, George is going to come up. He will introduce our first element, and then we'll get going.
So as Myron said, our first time of prayer this morning is going to be for our government, both city, state, and national, and you see the prayer points up there. So we're going to spend a time in prayer on those.
Introduce the second item. We're going to be praying for our church specifically. There's some bullet points up there, four of them specifically. And you could pray for beyond the bullet points, obviously. These are just meant as prompts, not limitations. First one is that we can use the holidays for the rest of this year, October, November, December, to reach our neighbors for Christ, and that we'd find open doors for the gospel in our neighborhoods, and that our church would remain unified in Christ Jesus, that we ourselves at all levels, you know, partners, leaders, staff, would remain unified in Christ Jesus, and that our board would discern the Lord's direction for Journey's future. We're going through a vision casting process right now, and we just need Jesus. We need to make sure that we have the mind of Christ for the shepherd of our church, and we want to make sure that we are doing what he says. So we need him. And so at this stage, if you want to get up and pray with some other folks and you want to do that, you are entirely welcome to do so. And remember, these, if you have other things the Lord has put on your heart to pray for the church, you are feel the freedom. These are just prompts. These are things that are front burner right now. But there are clearly other things that you could pray for as well. But let's go ahead and go before the Lord and do that. All right, so our last element is individual prayer concerns and ongoing prayers. And again, this one is, with the bullet points, are actually more instructional than anything. Can raise your hand if you want somebody to pray with you. And if you're somebody who wants to pray for somebody who raises their hand, feel the freedom. This is an opportunity for us to really practice the priesthood of all believers. And so feel free. That you don't have to be an elder. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a member of our board to do that. Feel free to pray for somebody who raises their hand. That's entirely fine. And then also, we have a bowl back there. If you want prayer requests that are written down, you want them prayed out loud near the end, that's fine. Remember, if you put anybody's name in, just initials. That would be great to keep anonymity. But prayer requests you want prayed, read out loud so everybody can pray, we got you. So there'll be a table with a bowl in the back for that. Also, if you're praying with anybody and you want to continue to pray with somebody, keep doing it. You want to keep praying by yourself? Keep doing it. If you want anointing for healing, make that known to me or to George, you know, or just make it known to anyone, and we are going to take care of you, right? So that's it. So we're going to get going this time. I'm going to introduce this time in prayer right now, so let's go ahead and do that. Father God, in the great name of King Jesus, we trust that you are with us because you said you would be. Wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we know you're here. And Lord, we know that you've been hearing us, that you've been attentive to what we've been praying. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to trust in your attentiveness. Help us to trust in the goodness of your presence. Help us to keep trusting you, that you hear, that you act, that, Lord, you have a special attentiveness to your kids who've been adopted by the blood of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we ask you to please help us to persevere in prayer individually and collectively and to receive answers from you as we go into this phase of prayer. We pray that that you would move however you want, according to your sovereignty, and help us to be especially attentive to the ways you're moving in our hearts and in our congregation. In the great name of King Jesus, amen. Friends, I'm going to close out our time together, but if beyond our time after the worship team leads us and we say the benediction, if you still want prayer, we're open, all right? So don't think that, oh, that's it, I'm done, all right? Hey, the prayer train's still running, okay? But as we phase into this last time of worship, I want you to press into the Lord, ways that he might be speaking to you through worship as the team leads us into his presence. Be attentive to the lyrics, be attentive to the music, because God might have special blessing for you in this last song that we have, and he might speak powerfully to you. I'm going to pray for us as we enter into this last time, and let's go before the Father in worship and praise. Father God, in the great name of Jesus, you hear us. You hear us. You know us. You know us better than we know ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that teaches us what to pray, even when we don't know what to pray. You are so good and so kind. Lord, we ask you to please continue to move in our hearts as we phase out of this particular kind of time, Lord. We know it's always the time for prayer. It's always the time to hear from you. Keep us attentive in hearing from you and being attentive to the voice of the Good Shepherd. In the name of King Jesus, amen.